Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. John chapter number 11, this morning. I'll look at a few verses here. John chapter number 11. And you pray for us as we preach this morning. And you make sure you come back tonight. If the Lord doesn't change my mind, I'm going to preach on a man tonight that I don't think I have ever preached on in over 20 years of preaching, the man by the name of Nathan. Nathan was a man that confronted David and told David that the sword would never depart out of his house. And Nathan was a man of God. And there's some qualities in his life that I think each and every one of us needs in our life. And we're going to look at that tonight. And I've been studying on it this week. I'm going to give you a little thought out of here in John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, when you come to it this morning, is a dynamite of a chapter. Man, there is so much going on in John chapter number 11. And I want to look at a little bit of it. Of course, we're going to have to make reference to the entire chapter to understand what's going on. But let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 11, we'll pick up reading. For the sake of time, let's just pick up reading in verse number 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me also, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now I'm interested in the last part of verse 44, "Loose him and let him go." Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Father, I thank you, God, for mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, Father, for a beautiful morning that you blessed us with. Thank you, God, for the sunshine outside and health and strength, God, to be able to see that and enjoy it. Thank you, God, for a good Sunday school hour. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us in the preaching. God, thank you for good singing, great testimonies, God. But I pray that you'd help us as we preach today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd meet each and every need of this service, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bind the demons of hell, God. Give us liberty as we preach today. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. John chapter number 11, as I've already stated, is a dynamite of a book, or a dynamite of a chapter. There is so much that's happening in John chapter number 11. You that remembers your Bible or have studied your Bible, you'll remember that this is the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We know that Lazarus dies, and as I just read to you, God or Jesus raises him from the dead. In the beginning of John chapter number 11, you'll find that Mary and Martha sends for Jesus because their brother is sick. They make a request for Jesus to come and to come to where they was at and to meet the need of their brother Lazarus, whom, according to the Bible, Jesus loved. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was not just a casual acquaintance to Jesus, but They was somebody personal to him. They was personal friends of him. And I'll say more about this as we preach this morning, but you must remember that Jesus, yes, he was a deity, but at the same time, he was humanity. Matter of fact, some criticize preachers when they have someone that they're closer to than somebody else, but Jesus had an inner circle whenever you study his life out. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was somebody that Jesus was close to. They send for Jesus and they want Jesus to come heal their brother because he's sick unto death. Now, Jesus ends up tarrying a little bit and then starts their way, but they think that Jesus is too late. Jesus gets there and Lazarus is dead and they've already buried Lazarus. They think that Jesus is 4 days late, but you always remember that Jesus is never late and God is never late. He's always right on time. Really, to understand the 4 days, you need to understand the manners and the customs of the Jews. They thought that in 3 days they may could pray him back, but Jesus waited until all hope seemed to be gone on the humanity side, and then Jesus showed up right on time. You see, you may think, Jesus, and I don't have this wrote down, but I think I'll say a little bit about it. You may think that Jesus is running late in your life right now. You may think, man, I'm trying to do this. Mary and Martha wasn't doing nothing wrong. They was, can I say it this way? They was living for the Lord. They was going to church. They was faithful to the house of God. And you know what? They sent for their friend, Jesus, to come help them. You may have sent for your friend Jesus today, and it seems that Jesus is tarrying behind. It seems that Jesus is running late. Hear the preacher and hear him well today. Jesus is not running late. I promise you, right on time, every time, Jesus will show up for the need in your life. He sometimes will allow all human hope to be gone. He sometimes will allow you to get in a place where you know there's nobody else that can do anything but him. Oh, but aren't you thankful that when it seems that all hope is gone, that coming down the road right on time is Jesus stepping into your life and doing the miracle for you that he's fixing to do for them. Mary and Martha, they see Jesus coming. They go running out to meet him and say the exact same things. It's very interesting when you study that. They say the same things. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Jesus begins to talk to them, and Jesus even sits down and weeps with them a while in verse number 35. Jesus wept. Now, I want you to think about this with me today. In this, Jesus is trying to strengthen their faith. Matter of fact, no less than 8 times faith is mentioned. Not the word faith, but the use of faith is mentioned no less than 8 times. You see, in this story, he is trying to strengthen the faith of his disciples in verse 12 and 13, 14 and 15. He's trying to strengthen the faith of his sisters, Lazarus's sisters, and he's also trying to strengthen the faith of the Jews whenever you study it out. In chapter number 11, it reveals Christ's deity, but it also reveals his humanity. Now stay with me. Jesus perceived Lazarus's death. Jesus permitted Lazarus's death. Jesus even planned Lazarus's death. Are you with me this morning? He sees it all. Hey, Jesus could have kept him alive till he got there if he'd have wanted to. After all, he is Jesus. Somebody say amen. After all, he is Christ. Jesus planned the death of Lazarus when it was. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, all of that is deity. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, we get a glimpse into the humanity of Christ. Deity is simply this: he's as much God as God is God. But he was as much man as man is man. Verse number 35, so many have said different things about it. Some of them said that he wept because of Mary and Martha's lack of faith. Some have said that he wept because this. Let me tell you some Barkerology on this verse. I was teaching Sunday school a while ago, and I told them, I said, these notes that's in our Bible is not inspired. So I'm not saying that what I'm fixing to say is inspired, but I will give you some Barkerology on why he cried. He cried because Lazarus was dead. That was his buddy. Can I put it that way? That was his friend. Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. He's dead now. That's his buddy. That's his friend. That's his pal. And he's dead. He cried also, I think, because Mary and Martha was crying. Mary and Martha was upset. Now, there's a lot of times that I'm a groupie when it comes to crying. You say, what do you mean? When I see somebody else start crying, a lot of times, man, I'll just pull up a chair beside them and cry with them. You say, well, preacher, you're crazy. Well, that's okay. You might be crying one day and be glad that I've got a chair sitting beside of you. Are you with me? He is, boy, there's a role right here, and I'm not gonna run this right. There's a role right here for a pastor to study. Jesus, he carries the load with them. He cries with them. He's troubled with them. His heart is breaking with them. Jesus shows his humanity in crying that day. But then Jesus says, where have you laid him at? Where have you laid him at? Take me to where you put him at. You know what they said? Now Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus, we don't need to go over there. He already stinketh. He said, roll the stone away. They said, he's already stinking. You got to remember, they didn't have embalming fluid in that day. Whenever they died, they took them outside the city gates and buried them. Jesus, he's already dead. He's been dead 4 days. What are you saying? Roll the stone away? Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to stay with me right here. I want you to stay with me right here. I want to ask you a question. What is that thing in your life that you've already wrote it off for being dead, and you've buried it, and Jesus is standing there saying, hey, look, I'm going to bring this back to life and make it useful in your life. So many times we allow, the greatest testimony, hear me well, the greatest testimony any young person can ever have is they never touched alcohol, they never got on any kind of drugs, they never had sex before marriage. The greatest testimony they can have, somebody holler amen and help the preacher right now, is that they walk down the aisle of virgin, clean, pure. That is the greatest testimony that they can have. Amen goes right there. But hear me and hear me well. Not everybody is going to have that testimony. And don't take your past and put it in a grave somewhere and allow the devil to rob you of you sharing your testimony to help somebody else and keep them from going down the road you do. Said, roll the stone away. I'm fixing to do a miracle right here. And then he made this statement. He said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You see, and y'all, I should have brought a big roll of toilet paper, but it's too expensive and we might not be able to find none. Y'all ever seen a mummy? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've seen it on TV, and the mummy, they're all wrapped up. That's what Lazarus looked like. That's truth. That's what he looked like. He was rolled up, if you want to say it that way, in grave clothes, and his face had a napkin on it. When he came out, his face had a napkin on it. You know what the Bible said? Look, Jesus had raised him from the dead, but his grave clothes were still on him. And he said to him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You see, the day I got saved, God brought life out of deadness. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespassings of sin. That word quicken right there is not fast like my Ford truck. It's made alive. You cut your fingernail into the what? The quick, where it's living, and that's why it hurt. And you, there was a time that you was dead in trespassings of sin. But aren't you thankful for the day that Jesus come by your way and said, bring him forth. Lazarus, come forth. You see, Jesus called him by name. I'm headed somewhere. So anyway, Jesus called him by name that day. And the reason he did, if he'd have just said, come forth, every dead person in the world would have got up. Aren't you thankful for the day that Jesus come down to the cemetery where you was at? Yeah, man, when you was dead in trespass, I wish somebody help a preacher this morning. When you was dead in trespassings of sin, when your life was a mess, when you was headed to hell in a handbasket, aren't you glad for the day that Jesus come down to where you was at and said, Josh, come forth. Wade, come forth. Jonathan, come forth. Amen. He rolled the stone back and he came forth. But here's what the next step was. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You see, a lot of people have been brought back from the dead, but they've never been loosed. They allow the past to hold them. They allow previous mistakes. We've all made some. Somebody holler amen right there. They allow previous relationships. They allow previous problems. They allow the past, a past addiction, a past scar, to hold them in bondage. They allow bitterness. They allow bitterness to hold them in bondage. Amen. They allow anger and malice to hold them in bondage. Are they saved? Well, if there's ever been a time in your life that you realized you was lost and on the road to hell and repented of your sins and asked Christ to come into your heart and save you, and by faith you believed he would do that, then you're saved. Amen. But they allow all of this luggage or garbage to hold them in bondage. And once he was brought up from the dead, the next step in his life was this: loose him. Loose him and let him go. Let me show you two or three things and I'll be done. Number one this morning, I see this. Man, it's just 20 minutes till 12. We got all kinds of time. Number one, look at this. He was loosed from the clothing that suited him. What did they say? They said he came forth wrapped in grave clothes. You see, it's only suiting that a man that is dead be wrapped in grave clothes. Somebody say amen right there. Understand again the time. It's not our day and age. He was not in a coffin with a suit and tie on or bibbed overalls on or whatever you're going to be buried in. So what are you going to be buried in? You'll never know because I'm going to have a closed coffin. I've done told my wife, if you open that, I'll jump out of it. Don't you? Oh, he looks so good. No, he's dead. I'm just being honest, okay? I told my Sunday school class this morning, I said, for the next 2 months, we're going to be very transparent, okay? So that might just drift off out here. No, he dead. All right, look at a picture beside of me, all right? Get one of them that Haley gets and it never makes it out. Pull one of them up so everybody will laugh. It's only suiting that he was wrapped in grave clothes. That was the clothes that suited him because of his condition. You see, you look like the world, you smelt like the world, you done like the world because that's what suited you. You was of the world. But you know what? The day you got saved, oh yes, good neighbor, you're no more of the world. And you know what he said? He said, loose him from the clothes that suited him. You see, the day I got saved, there was a new man took over in my life. I put off the old man and put on the new man. Listen to what your Bible said. Let me read you a verse right here. Listen to this in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Let me read you some. I don't have this mark, but I want to read it to you. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15 says this. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father." What is he saying? Here's what he's saying to us tonight. He's saying this. Let me back up and pick up verse number 5 also. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, affection, evil communications, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now listen to this. "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these." Listen to this now. "Anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man." What did he say? He said this, that you put off the old man and that you put on the new man. You know what happened the day you got saved? God brought you from death unto life. And then he said this, all of those things, fornication, idolatry, anger, he dealt with all of it, right? What did he say we did? We put it off. God loosed us from that. It no longer, if you allow malice to have you bound up today, it's your fault, not God's. If you allow anger, if you allow bitterness, you said, "Preacher, how do I know if I struggle with bitterness?" Well, think about somebody. You got them in your mind now? Did your blood pressure just go up? You probably got a little bitterness in you. Think about anger and malice. Say, "Preacher, how do I know if I deal with that?" Think about somebody, because when I said anger, somebody probably went through your mind. Well, you probably do. You know what he said? He said that we have been loosed from that. Church, we do not have to live. Look, listen to this right here. Could Lazarus go walking down the road and have a testimony being bound up? He couldn't go walking. He could probably hop down the road. And you know what? A lot of people would have said, "Boy, there's old Lazarus. God done a work in his life." You ain't did. He's all bound up. And you know what? You got saved and people's going, "Boy, God done a work in their life." And you're going, because you still wound up in all of this mess that Jesus said, loose him from it. Let him go from that. Get that off of him. Now Lazarus goes down the road and somebody goes, "Well, that's Lazarus. What? He's got his fishing rod going fishing. What's he doing? He's supposed to be over bound up and in a grave. I wonder what happened to him." And somebody says, "I tell you what happened to him. Jesus showed up when they thought it was late and went over and got him up from the grave, but he just didn't get him up. He loosed him." Amen. You're already loose. Did you get what I just said? You're already loose. Jesus has already given you victory over everything that you're battling with. You just got to accept it. You just got to accept it. You just got to accept it. Loose. Number one, he loosed him from the clothing that suited him. Romans said this in chapter 13, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Number two, he loosed him from the condemnation of sin. The condemnation of sin. Let me read you a verse right here in the book of Romans. Romans said this in chapter number 8. Man, I love these verses right here. Romans chapter number 8, I should have marked my place, but it'll be all right. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. He loosed him from the clothing that suited him, but he loosed him from the condemnation of sin. You know what that word condemnation means? It means sentence. Sin always brings death. James 1:15, therefore when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. And you see, what caused Lazarus to be in the condition that he was in was sin. Sin had condemned his life. What caused us to be in the condition that we was in? It was sin. Sin had condemned us. Sin had taken all of our joy, all of our happiness, all of our peace, all of our contentment. It had robbed that away from us. Oh, but aren't you thankful for the day that Jesus came by and loosed us from the condemnation of that? There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because we are now in Him. We don't walk of ourselves. We walk in Him. What did He say? For the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When Jesus died on the cross, my sins died on the cross. I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm preaching. When Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, I rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I am in Christ. I'm as good as sitting in heaven today. I have all of the joy, all of the victory, all of the happiness that I want in Him. But the problem is we're allowing the condemnation of sin and the clothing of Satan and the clothing that suited us to keep us all bound up. And you see somebody and you want to tell them about Jesus, but you're all bound up. You want to go to church, but you're all bound up. You want to stand up and say, as Brother Robert did a while ago, preacher, I just got to brag on the Lord for being good to me, but you're all bound up. You've already been commanded to be loosed. It's up to you to accept what He's already done. Number one, I'm right now done. Number one, He was loose from the clothing that suited Him, loose from the condemnation of sin. But He was also loosed from the control of Satan. When we get saved, we're loosed from the control of Satan. Satan does not have to run your life. If Satan is running your life, you are allowing Satan to run your life. Somebody say amen right there. You remember the story? Come start playing something. You remember the story in Exodus, don't you? The children of Israel was taken into bondage in Egypt. Chapter number one, there was taskmasters that was set over them. And what they done, they lived in bondage. That's what they did. They lived in bondage. There's brickmakers, they lived in bondage. But you remember the story. God sent them Moses, type of Christ in the Old Testament. God sent them Moses, and when Moses got there, what did Moses do? Moses began to talk to him and told Pharaoh to let God's people go. Ends up, the death angel passes by. But if the blood had been applied to the doorpost, amen, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If the blood had been applied to the doorpost, they could go free. You know what happened that day? They went free. They got to the Red Sea. God gave them victory across the Red Sea. Come out on the other side. And in just a day or two, they could have been living in Canaan's land. But they chose, they was loosed when they walked across. They chose to spend 40 years walking around in the desert. Then Joshua ends up leading them into Canaan's land. A picture of the victorious Christian life. Joshua leads them into there. They could have been in Canaan's land in just a day or two. You study the map. You study the geographical location on it. You study the time it would have took. They could have been there in just a day or two, but what did they do? They walked around bound up in bondage still. The wilderness. You see, the day you got saved, God loosed you from some things. But if you're not careful, you'll spend 40 years walking around in the desert trying to figure out what you're going to do when God's already given you Canaan land. God's already given you a land flowing with milk and honey. God's already, Canaan land's not heaven. It's not heaven. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. I'm going to say something to you today. We have been loosed from the control of Satan. Oh, you know what was it? Wasn't it old Flip that said, the devil made me do it? Wasn't that Flip Wilson said that, Robert? Said the devil made me do it. No, you done it because you chose to do it. You done it because you chose to do it. If you mess this row of young ladies sitting up here, if you mess your life up, if you go down a road and get into drugs and alcohol and premarital sex and get pregnant before you get married and you mess your life up, you chose to do that. It's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. You chose to do that. The drug addict, I understand. Stay with me. Don't write me off yet. I understand it's an addiction, but it's their fault that they're in that addiction because the very first time they used, they chose to use. The alcoholic that can't lay the alcohol down, it's not a disease. It is. It's called sin. But he chose to pick the first drink up. Now, I'm all for helping them, but we got to get back to the basics. They made the first choice. And if you choose to go down that road, that's your choice. But if you're saved by the grace of God, Satan does not have control of your life. You allow him to take the reins. That verse I just read to you about not making the provisions of the flesh. Put you on the Lord and make no provision for the flesh. Boy, I could preach an hour right here. Maybe we just need to clear a few rows out and bring all the young people up here in just a minute. Make no provision for it. Don't put yourself in a place. Don't put yourself in a place where you're going to be tempted to do things that would ruin your life. If you've got to look over your shoulder to see if anybody's coming, if you got to cut your phone off when somebody comes in the room, it's wrong. And you're making provisions for the flesh. Christ, the day you got saved, set you free from the control of Satan. Satan does not have the reins in my life right now. Brother Josh, if Satan's got the reins, it's because I give them to him. Somebody holler amen right there. It's because I said, here you go. No, the day I got saved, he loosed me from the bondage. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that the victorious Christian life as Lazarus starts living right here. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that it's a picture of bondage. Everybody wants to paint the Christian life as a picture of bondage. Well, if I get saved and really sell out to serve God, it's just bondage. No, all throughout the Bible, you'll find sin is a picture of bondage and Christianity is a picture of freedom. I am free to do whatever I want to do. If I want to hand Satan the reins, I can. If I want to go get drunk, I can. If I want to go commit adultery and fornication, I can. But hear me and hear me well. The Lord's been too good to me. God's blessed me too much. He's brought me too far. He has loosed me and set me free from those things. Now I choose to live in his pleasure. He was loose from the control of Satan. You do not have to live a life that is controlled by Satan. You do not, I need to get where some men's at. Let me get right in here. You do not have to live, I ain't gonna say this around women. You do not have to live a life that's controlled by emotions. Brother Wade said, amen. Miss Kay just smacked him in the back of the head from heaven.
So don't you be talking about women having emotions. You don't have to live a life that's controlled by emotions. You don't have to live a life of fear and a life of confusion. You don't have to live that. You don't have to live that. Why? Because Christ set us free from it. Anxiety ends when faith begins. Brother Josh said that the Friday night we was eating supper together. We was talking about it. And he said, preacher, he said, I wrote this down a long time ago. He said, did I say that? Did you write that down after I said it? You want me to sign your Bible? He said, did I really say that? Yeah, we'll give me credit for it. Yeah, we'll give me credit. That's pretty good, ain't it? I probably read it somewhere. Anxiety ends where faith begins. We put our trust in Him. We are loosed from all this. Lazarus goes on to live a prosperous life, and no doubt many get saved from the testimony of Lazarus. You can go on to live a victorious Christian life and many be saved from you if you'll just get loose. If you'll just get loose. If you said loose him. He was already brought back from the dead. Their salvation. When he came back, when they rolled the stone away, Brother Matt, and he stepped out, their salvation. He saved. Type of salvation right there. The type of the victorious Christian life was when they let him go. Loose him and let him go. I'm going to ask you this morning, what's got you wound up? What's got you all bound down? What's got you from enjoying? I was talking to another pastor this week. We was in the mountains together, and he pastors down next to Raleigh. We was talking, and here's exactly what I told him. I said, there's nothing I'd rather do than preach and pastor the church. I said, when it comes to quote unquote career, there's nothing I'd rather do. I absolutely love pastoring. Now, there's some days where it's a little more stressful. There's some days when you're a little more frustrated. But I love it. And let me tell you, the reason I can love that is because I have chose to let Him loose me from some things. If Josh Forrest gets mad at me today, and after 15 years of faithfulness to this church, and him and Tanya walks out of this church and quits, then that's on them. If I've loved them, if I've done everything according to the Scripture to try to help them and do what I can for them, there's nothing else I can do. And if they stay mad, are you mad? If they stay mad, are you getting mad? If they stay mad and leave and never come back, then I've done everything I can do. I cannot make them come to church. I cannot make them be faithful. I cannot make them live a life pleasing to Christ. They have to do that. So I, after 10 years of pastoring, figured this out about 3 or 4 years ago, cannot allow myself to live in bondage when people walk away. So many pastors live a life of bondage because they're continually trying to figure out what they've done, when in a lot of times it's nothing they've done. It's a heart condition with a person that walked off. That's just facts this morning. Loosen. Don't walk around with your head down, pouting, and it's too much of this and too much. No, Jesus said loosen. Loosen. That bitterness that's got you bound up right now, Jesus will loose you from that. That anger, those emotions, I don't have no emotions. You liar. Every person in this room has emotions. I don't have emotions. Walk out behind Tim Ramey's truck. He just don't have a reese hitch. It's got 3 balls and a hook on it. You walk out there when you're leaving and walk past the back of his truck and catch your shin on that hook, I guarantee you, you're not going to go, "Well, hallelujah, that was great." Why? Because you got emotions. That's why. Because you got emotions. Yesterday, did you know I'm done. You know you use your thumb for everything. You button your shirt with it. You text with it. You scroll with it. When you got a laptop, you use your thumb for the mouse on it. Y'all with me? Y'all thinking, where's he going with this? I'm headed somewhere. Yesterday, we had got a thing to make homemade French fries with, a slicer. That thing came in yesterday evening. I told the girls, I said, "Daddy gonna make us some homemade fries." I went to slicing them taters on that thing. And then I turned it one time, the tater, and whenever I did, it made it look like a Chick-fil-A fry. And boy, Victoria thought that was a great, "Daddy, they look like Chick-fil-A fries now." And I was like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I'd slice it that way and 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 that way. Well, I was going to town. These taters flying off the end of that thing. Victoria was talking about how good of a dad her dad was, and he was a man, and I was... And it hit my mind, Brother Brian. I don't have nothing on the end of this tater. And this thing's like a razor blade that this tater's going over. And I thought, in the midst of slicing, I probably need to stop before I get too far. And I told Les, Leslie was saying, "Let me use that thing." I said, "No, you ought to be careful with this thing. If you ain't careful, it'll..." Oh! Right there, you can't see it. I laid the end of that thumb wide open. You ever tried to text with a Band-Aid on your finger, on your thumb? If I texted anybody and cussed you last night, I didn't mean to. There's all kind. It's off. Let me tell you the reason I hollered when I hit it, because you got emotions in me. Every person in here has got emotions in you. Anger's an emotion. Bitterness is an emotion. Anxiety is an emotion. And all of these emotions has got you bound up. And Jesus has already saved you. And you can't say, "Hallelujah, preacher, God's good." Why? Because you're bound. You're bound. You know what he'll do this morning? He'll let you free. Loose him and let him go. Father is...